Many of us perhaps don't understand what exactly took place on the cross. Every movie that we have seen about Jesus shows us the physical sufferings of Christ as being beaten, whipped, nailed, hammered, and we weep. I know I have wept many times when I see how much he suffered for me, particularly films like The Passion of Christ. You see how much he suffered. But that part was all physical suffering. And then finally he died. Now, when I've tried to understand the scriptures, I've tried to look at it like this. Supposing a very educated, intelligent, non-Christian who knew the Bible thoroughly asked me some questions, would I be able to answer them? And this is the way I picture it. Here's a very intelligent non-Christian arguing against the death of Christ being sufficient for man's sin. And he asks me like this. Okay, Zach, tell me, how did Jesus take the punishment for your sin? I say, he died for my sins on the cross. Oh, so Zach, you say that death, physical death, is the punishment for sin, right? Yeah, he died for my sins. If that be the case, Zach, this man is telling me, if you have committed sins in your life and God kills you physically, you have paid the punishment for your sin. Then he should take you to heaven. Because that's what Jesus took. And I'm stuck. What answer will you give? If physical death is the punishment for sin, then when you die, you've been punished for your sin. God should raise you up and take you to heaven. But I know, when I say, hey, hang on. No, let me correct that, I tell him. Physical death is not the punishment for sin. The punishment for sin is being forsaken by God forever. And that's what we call hell. More than the physical fact of hell or worms or fire or anything, the fact is you're forsaken by God forever. Oh, she says, okay. So, then did Jesus suffer hell? If that is the punishment for sin? And then if I don't know the answer, again I'm stuck. Now there are some charismatic preachers today who stick to the King James Version of the Bible, who read in Acts chapter 2, then King James Version, that Jesus descended into hell for 3 days. And the word is not hell, the word is Hades, which has been wrongly translated by the King James Version as hell, but it's translated in the NASB as Hades. But they take that and say, after Jesus died, this is wrong teaching, by the way, after he died, he went for 3 days to hell and suffered all the agony of hell, and then he came out of the grave. There's not a verse in scripture to prove that. It's a completely wrong teaching, but there are a lot of people who preach it and believe it, among some of today's famous television preachers. But then we ask ourselves, if the punishment for your sin is hell, Jesus had to suffer that. Otherwise, he has not taken your punishment. Physical death cannot be the punishment for your sin, because that everybody gets. And those who die physically, nobody would go to hell then, because everybody dies physically, he's taken the punishment. If hell is the punishment for sin, then Jesus faced it. Where did he face it? He faced it on the cross. The first 3 hours, as far as we know, he was not forsaken. There were other things happening, but the last 3 hours, it was darkness, and that was the time when he was forsaken by his Father. And that's why he cried out. The only time in his life when he said to his Father, "My God, my God." Do you know that Jesus from eternity past till eternity future never called God, God, except once. He always called him Father, 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 except once. He said, my God, why? Because at that moment, something was broken of his connection with his Father. And he was standing there facing the guilt of the judge, in front of the judge of the whole universe, facing the guilt of our sin. And that is what he prayed so much for in Gethsemane, saying, oh Father, please don't let me have to drink this cup. He wasn't afraid of physical death. He wasn't afraid of the shame. He wasn't afraid of anything. But one thing he didn't want was that breaking of the connection with the Father, something like somebody wrenching off your head. If somebody caught your head and twisted it and wrenched it off, that would be a small picture of the spiritual pain that Jesus faced when the Bible says Christ, God is the head of Christ. And he said, Father, isn't there some other way? I mean, you and I have had fellowship for eternity. He was praying in Gethsemane. That's why it took 1 hour. And then he prayed three times, perhaps 3 hours. Isn't there any other way? Do I have to break? I mean, I don't mind. I'm willing to die 1,000 times physically, be shamed, ridiculed, mocking, everything. 10,000 crowns of thorns, oh, no problem. But this break of fellowship with the Father. Father, you and I have had that from eternity. You mean I have to break it? Now, you know, when I say that, it doesn't grip us so much. Physical pain we can understand. That's why we weep so much when we see those movies where Jesus is being hit and whipped and crucified. But we don't weep when we hear that his fellowship with the Father was broken. You know why? Because we are so used in our life to fellowship being broken with God all the time. You have a grudge against somebody and you don't set it right, your fellowship with the Father is broken, but you live merrily for the next few days. There are husbands and wives who don't talk to each other for 2-3 days. They have no fellowship with the Father during those 2-3 days, but they live merrily, happily. There are very few Christians, I would say 1 in a million believers, who understand what fellowship with the Father is the most precious thing of all. Most of us, you can tell a lie and not have a botheration about it. Your fellowship with the Father is broken immediately, but you continue. You lust after a woman, your fellowship with the Father is broken, you continue. You get angry, you masturbate, you do things, your fellowship with the Father is broken, you continue. It's nothing to us. We are breaking fellowship with God all the time. You got a jealousy against somebody, fellowship with the Father is broken, it doesn't bother you. Anger, bitterness, so many things we're doing all the time, fellowship with God is broken, it doesn't bother us, and that's why we don't value it. But physical pain, if somebody pokes us with a pin, that bothers us so much. It was not like that for Jesus. You could nail him to a cross, it wouldn't bother him. But if fellowship with the Father was broken for one moment, it would disturb him more than 10,000 crowns of thorns, 10,000 crucifixions. And when you get closer to God in your walk with him, it'll be the same for you. That fellowship with the Father will be more important than any amount of physical pain. And no amount of torture will make you deny Jesus Christ when you get close to God. But if you're not close to God, for the sake of a little increment in your job, you will deny Jesus Christ. You will hide the fact that you're a Christian to get some benefit somewhere. It's amazing. So, there are situations like this where we discover that fellowship with the Father doesn't mean much to us. And that's why we don't understand what Jesus suffered in those 3 hours. I myself, I'll tell you this. For many, many years after I was born again, I never understood this. I had to get close to God to understand this. I've never read it in a book till today. You never read in a book about these type of things. I've never heard a cassette on it, a message on it anywhere. But it is the truth of God. That is what he's... And this is how I feel it happened in Gethsemane. When he said, Father, isn't there any other way? And I can imagine, if I were imagining conversation there between the Father and the Father, and the Father says, okay, you haven't sinned. You can come straight up from Gethsemane to heaven. You can come up right now. You don't have to go through that. But those people there, they'll all go to hell. And there in Gethsemane, Jesus thought of me. I like to make it personal. He thought of me. My face came before Jesus in Gethsemane. I want to believe it like that. You can believe it like that too. It'll make you love the Lord more. It made me love the Lord more. My face came before Jesus. And he thought of me going to hell forever. And he said, okay, Father, I'll go to the cross. That's why I'm devoted to Jesus Christ. That's why I do anything for Him. That's why I'll give up anything for Him. That's why I'll live my whole life only for Him. That's why I'm not bothered if the whole world turns against me. And when I preach these truths, it doesn't matter to me if 6 billion people in the world call around, turn around and call me a false prophet. I know what Jesus went through a little bit. And I say, Lord, forgive me that I'm so half-hearted, not dedicated. Forgive me that I don't hate sin as I should when I think of what you went through on that cross for me. I see His love for me at Gethsemane, that He didn't go straight up to heaven from there when He could have. But He got up and went to the cross. He could have pulled Himself down from the cross. He could have called 72,000 angels to come and save Him, but He didn't. Because He saw my face, and He saw what would happen to me for all eternity. And He said, for Zach's sake, I'll go through.